This is Pastor Gino Cassieri, pastor of Evangelical Baptist Church in Newton, Massachusetts. And once again, it's time for the Pastor's Study. I want to thank each and every one of you for joining me for the Pastor's Study today. If you've been with us for the last 2 weeks, we've begun a series of our studies in what does the Bible have to say about speaking in tongues. Last time we saw clearly from the scriptures that the tongues are a sign, and the Jews require a sign. And we saw that there were a lot of signs and wonders showing up in the Gospels. And the reason for that was because Jesus and the 12 apostles were dealing with the nation of Israel. In fact, Jesus appointed the 12 apostles, and he commissioned them and said not to go in the way of the Gentile or the Samaritan, but to go to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And any time you see God dealing with Israel, like he did in the Gospels, you'll see the signs and wonders, getting the Jews to believe the messenger and the message. As we pick up now, it's no wonder that you see a lot of signs and wonders in the early part of the book of Acts. And the reason for that is, in the early part of the book of Acts, God is still dealing with Israel, trying to get them, through the ministry of the Holy Spirit, to repent of their sin of killing their Messiah, amen. And as a nation, if they had done that, repented of their sin of killing their Messiah, and then the kingdom of heaven would have come in, amen, and so forth and so on. But everywhere we see in the early part of the book of Acts, if the apostles go, they start out preaching to the Jews, amen, over and over again. In the first 7 chapters of the book of Acts, you read of an apostle standing up and saying, such as, "Ye men of Israel, ye men of Jerusalem, or ye men of Judea." And what you see is he's not talking to a bunch of Gentiles, no. That apostle is talking to a bunch of Jews. You will find everywhere the Apostle Paul went early in his ministry, that he went to the synagogues and the temples first before he went to the Gentiles. The Word of God tells us in Romans chapter 1 and verse 16, Paul wrote to the believers at Rome, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek," or the Gentile. So he went first to the Jew and then to the Greek, amen, preaching the gospel of grace. So it's no wonder that the Apostle Paul himself had signs and wonders because he preached primarily in the early part of his ministry to the Jews until they showed that they were not worthy of the gospel of the grace of God and were not going to believe. And then he says, finally, look at what he says, Paul the Apostle, in Acts chapter 18, the latter part of the book of Acts, in chapter 18, in verse number 6. He says to the Jews, "And when they opposed themselves and blasphemed, he shook his raiment and said unto them, Your blood be upon your own heads. I am clean. From henceforth I will go unto the Gentiles." And from that point on, what you'll see in the book of Acts is the signs and wonders begin to fall off. What you'll notice in the book of Acts, you have to understand that the book of Acts is a transition book. In other words, it's a period in the book of Acts. You're going from one period of time where God is dealing with man to another period of time where God is dealing differently with man. And the two periods of time are from the Old Testament law, under the law, to the current age of grace, or the church age. And what you're going to find, you'll notice in the book of Acts, is the signs and wonders. They are not as prevalent at the end of the book of Acts as they are at the beginning. The reason for that is because a Jew is not as prevalent at the end of the book of Acts as he was at the beginning of the book. Not only that, but by the time you get to the end of the book of Acts, there's no longer is anyone preaching the gospel of the kingdom. Amen. It's the gospel of the grace of God. Now, see, by the time you get to the end of the book of Acts, the gospel of the grace of God is revealed to Paul. Let's look in first in Ephesians chapter 3 with me. Ephesians chapter 3. In Ephesians chapter 3, Paul speaks about a mystery. Ephesians chapter number 3, and we begin in verse 3, and we'll read down through verse 8 together. How that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote afore in few words. Now Christ revealed this mystery to Paul the Apostle, whereby, when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body and partakers of his presence, of his promise in Christ by the gospel. Wherefore I was made a minister according to the grace of God, given unto me by the effectual working of his power. Unto me, who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. What Christ had revealed to Paul, and had not been revealed to any other person before then, was the mystery of the church, being that the church would be made up of Jew and Gentile in one body, and that all would be saved by grace through faith in the blood atonement. Remember when Paul, I believe it was over in the second epistle to the Corinthians in chapter 12, where he had a thorn in the flesh, and he asked God to remove it, and God wouldn't remove it. And the reason God didn't remove it was to keep Paul humble. See, Paul had been given this revelation that no one else had. In the Old Testament, we see the church in picture and type, but it's never revealed to the prophets. Amen. It's there in picture and type. For example, Enoch, we know that he walked with God, and he was translated before the flood. A picture of the church being raptured out before the tribulation period, amen. And there are just so many pictures and types of the church in the Old Testament. But again, it wasn't specifically revealed. Here we see Paul has been given that revelation by Jesus Christ, that Jew and Gentile would be in one body, the body of Christ. They would all be come into that body by grace, being saved by grace through faith. Faith in the blood atonement, believing that Christ died, he died for their sins, was buried, and rose again the third day. So that thorn in the flesh was given to Paul to keep him humble. Can you imagine? You know, in other words, he could be running around. Look at how great I am. God revealed this information to me that he didn't reveal to anyone else, even those great Old Testament prophets. Amen. Look at in Galatians chapter 1 with me. Galatians chapter 1, and in Galatians chapter 1, in verse 11 and 12, Paul writes, "But I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man, for I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ." So Paul is saying, this gospel of grace, amen, the death, burial, and resurrection, amen, was given to him, was taught to him by the revelation of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, gave it directly to Paul, amen. He didn't learn it from any man, amen. It was given directly by revelation to him by by the revelation of Jesus Christ. Now, so now it's been revealed to the apostles that Christ is not going to bring in the kingdom of heaven on the nation of Israel. But now he's going to bless the nations. How? Through the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he's going to send the gospel. This gospel, again, is about the death, the burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. He's going to send it to every person. And it doesn't have anything to do with a literal, physical kingdom. But it has to do with salvation and sins being forgiven by trusting Jesus Christ. So you see a whole lot of things change in the book of Acts. The signs drop off. Even the apostolic ministry begins to drop off. After Acts 15, amen, you do not hear about any of the 12 apostles anymore. And of course, we know what happened in Acts 15. There was a great meeting in Jerusalem. All the church fathers met there. Peter was there. Paul, James, they were all there. And there were some that were contending that the Gentiles, in order for them to be saved, amen, not only did they have to believe on Christ, but they had to fulfill the Mosaic law. They had to be circumcised, amen. And of course, Peter got up and said, no, they are saved. All of us are saved, Jew and Gentile alike, by grace. By grace through faith in the blood atonement of Jesus Christ. Amen. He said the Gentiles do not have to be circumcised. Amen. Circumcision has nothing to do with salvation. Amen. So, what you'll see then after Acts chapter 15, you'll not hear any more about any of the 12 apostles. You know, the 11 minus Judas, and then of course Matthias was picked as Judas's replacement. Those 12, you don't longer hear anything about them. What happens is from that point on, you only hear about Paul, Barnabas, Silas, Timothy, and some of the others of Paul's disciples and followers. Amen? That's what happens. Because now the ministry is, the gospel ministry is going through primarily the Gentiles there, beginning in the latter part of the book of Acts, because Paul has been given the revelation of the mystery of the church, Jew and Gentile, in one body, saved the same way by faith, saved by grace through faith in the blood atonement of Jesus Christ. Now I want to have you turn to Exodus chapter 4 with me. Exodus chapter 4. Here in Exodus chapter 4, we have an example of a full-blooded Jew, a Hebrew, that God called out to deliver other Hebrews. And of course, I'm talking about Moses. And he called out this man Moses to bring them, the Jews, into the land that God is trying to give them to establish them as the nation of Israel. Now in Exodus chapter 4, we read in verse 1. And Moses answered and said, but behold, he's speaking to God now, they, now who is he referring to, they, the nation of Israel, will not believe me nor hearken unto my voice. For they, again, the nation of Israel will say, Jews will say, the Lord hath not appeared unto thee. So, here's the picture now. God has called Moses as to be the leader to deliver the children of Israel, the Jews, out of bondage from Egypt into the promised land. Amen. And of course, at the time, we know that Moses is 80 years old. He was 40 years old, amen, when he realized that he was a Hebrew, amen. Although he was brought up in Pharaoh's household, amen. But God had to knock the world out of Moses, amen. And he took him to the backside of a mountain for 40 years and worked on him until he was ready till he was ready to be the leader of the nation of Israel. And so here he is saying to God, okay, you've called me, but they're not going to believe that you've appeared to me, God. Now let's read verses 2 and 3 of Exodus chapter 4. We read this, and the Lord said unto him, what is that in thine hand? And he said, a rod. So Moses has a rod in his hand. Now notice in verse 3 what happens. And he said, this is God talking to Moses, the Lord talking to Moses, cast it, that's the rod, on the ground. And he cast it on the ground, and it became a serpent, and Moses fled from before it. This was a real miracle. It wasn't an apparition. It was a real serpent. Why? Because Moses was afraid. He fled. Amen. The thing was real. Verse 4. And the Lord said unto Moses, put forth thine hand and take it by the tail. And he put forth his hand and caught it, and it became a rod in his hand. Now you can imagine what's going on in Moses' mind right now. It certainly took some faith to grab that serpent by the tail, amen? And I can see him probably, it's not recorded, but I can see him talking to God, say, you sure about this now? I mean, this thing looks pretty deadly, amen, this serpent. Amen, but he goes ahead and he does what God tells him to do, amen? Look at in verse 5 of Exodus 4 with me. That they may believe that the Lord God of their fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, hath appeared unto thee. Again, that they, the nation of Israel, may believe. The reason the Lord gave Moses that sign and wonder was so that Israel would believe. Didn't we say the Jews require a sign? Amen? You need to see, amen, that they were unbelieving Jews that Moses was going to be dealing with. And in order to get the Jews to believe, God gives his messenger Moses a sign that they may believe. Now let's read verse 6. Verse 6 with me of Exodus chapter 4, verse 6. And the Lord said further unto him, put now thine hand into thy bosom. And he put his hand into his bosom, and when he took it out, behold, his hand was leprous as snow. So now he gives him another sign and wonder. He says, now put your hand inside your bosom. And Moses does exactly what the Lord tells him to do. He pulls it out, and it's leprous. You can imagine, he probably can't believe, what's going on now? Now my hand is leprous. Now notice in verse 7 of Exodus 4. And he said, put thine hand into thy bosom again. And he put his hand into his bosom again and plucked it out of his bosom. And behold, it was turned again as his other flesh. It was like as he put it back in, pulled it out, and it was like it had never happened. God had healed him miraculously. Amen. So we see God gives him two signs and two wonders. You know that the gift of healing is a sign, because we read about that back in Mark chapter 16 and verse 18. They shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. The ability to heal supernaturally is a sign and wonder in a miracle. Amen. Look at in verse 8 of Exodus 4. And it shall come to pass, if they will not believe thee, neither hearken to the voice of the first sign, that they will believe the voice of the latter sign. Emphasize, we see first sign and latter sign. He said, it will talk their lingo when they see these signs, and they will listen up. And they did. Look at in verse 29 of Exodus chapter 4. And Moses and Aaron went and gathered together all the elders of the children of Israel. So we see Moses and Aaron, they gather all the people of Israel together. And then we read in verse 30 of Exodus 4. And Aaron spake all the words which the Lord had spoken unto Moses, and did the signs in the sight of the people. See, it says there, all the words which the Lord had spoken unto Moses. There is the message. Amen. He gave them, Aaron, the message that God had given to Moses. Now notice in verse 31 what it says. And the people believed. And when they heard that the Lord had visited the children of Israel, and that he had looked upon their affliction, then they bowed their heads and worshipped. We see the people believed. God says to Moses, I want you to tell them, that's the children of Israel, the Jews, that they are going to have to leave Egypt. Moses says to the Lord, they won't believe me. God says, they will after they see this. So he gives Moses those signs and wonders. He does the thing with the rod, it turns into a snake, picks it back up by the tail, turns back into a rod, puts his hand into his bosom, it turns leprous, puts it back in, the Lord miraculously heals him when he pulls it out. And Aaron stands up and says, the Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob has called you out and wants you to leave Egypt. And everybody says, do what? Then Moses does a thing with the rod, turning it into the serpent, and picks it up by the tail, and it becomes a rod again. And then again he does the thing, putting his hand into the bosom, in his bosom. It becomes leprous, puts it back in, and becomes healed. As a result, the Jews believe Aaron's message to leave Egypt. God's power was manifested through the signs so they would believe the message. That is all the signs were for. The signs were for an unbelieving Jew. Did not we see in the Word of God previously that tongues were a sign? In 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 22, and in Mark chapter 16. Didn't the Word of God say the sign is for the unbelieving Jew in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 22? In fact, turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 14 with me and look at the verse 21, the verse before it talks about tongues are for a sign for them, for the unbelieving. Look at in verse 21. It says, in the law, again, it's talking about in the law, it's referring to Jews or a Jew under the Old Testament Mosaic law. In the law it is written, with men of other tongues and other lips will I speak unto this people, and yet for all that will they not hear me, saith the Lord. And then in verse 22 of 1 Corinthians 14, wherefore tongues are for a sign, not to them that believe, amen, Israelites, but to them that believe not, again, Israelites. Once you get the definitions down, there's nowhere for you to go. Unless, of course, you want to step outside the boundaries of the Scriptures, amen. The Scriptures clearly tell us tongues are for a sign. That's right. Tongues are for a sign. Notice now here in Exodus 4, he has given them these signs so Israel will trust the messenger and believe the message. And that's what I read to you back in Mark 16. After he told them they would have signs, looking at Mark 16 again, after he told the apostles that they would have signs, in Mark 16, verse 20, notice what it says. Mark 16, 20. It says, and they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word. How? With signs following. Amen. They went forth preaching the word, the Lord confirming the word, what they were preaching, the message, with signs. God confirmed the words that the apostles were preaching with signs. Just like he confirmed the words of Moses and Aaron. Amen? Same thing. Because you have Moses and Aaron, Jews, call out to deliver the nation of Israel. Likewise, you have Peter and the other apostles, Jews, call out to deliver the nation of Israel. Amen? So that's why you see Moses and Aaron given signs. Because, again, they call out to deliver the nation of Israel. Again, likewise, Peter and the other Jewish apostles are given the signs and wonders. Why? Because the Jews are called out. Amen. They're trying to deliver the nation of Israel. Amen. They're trying to get them to repent of killing their Messiah. Again, it's dealing with unbelieving Jews, the signs and the wonders. It's simple. It's simple and plain, and no other purpose for it. That's what tongues are for. That's what signs are for. Tongues are a sign. Amen. It doesn't matter what anybody else says. If you stand by those two interpretations, that tongues are a sign, the Jews require a sign, and God gives a sign to an unbelieving Jew. And that's all you can say about it. The ministry today, primarily, in the church age, the gospel of grace, is not to the nation of Israel as a nation. Not to say individual Jews cannot be saved. We should witness to individual Jews, amen, in this church age and the age of grace, because they're saved just like any other Gentile. They're saved by grace through faith in the blood atonement of Jesus Christ, by believing, by repenting of their sins, and believing in their heart that Christ died. He died for their sins, was buried, and rose again the third day. But the ministry today, the message today, of course, is the gospel, the grace of God, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. The ministry today is primarily to Gentile nations. And that's going to continue until the fullness of the Gentile shall be brought in. It will be that way, that the ministry will be to the Gentiles. And only then, until the fullness of the Gentiles shall come in, only then, when that's over with, will God begin to deal with his nation Israel. Amen. According, turn with me to Romans chapter 11 and verse 25. Romans 11 verse 25. Paul wrote this. For I would not, brethren, that you should be ignorant of this mystery. Here's another mystery. The church is a mystery. Here's another mystery. Lest you should be wise in your own conceit. Here's the mystery, that the blindness in part has happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. God is not through dealing with Israel. The Roman Catholic Church will tell you that God has, and that all those promises in the Old Testament that God has given to Israel is for the church, for the Roman Catholic Church. Amen. But Paul writes here that he doesn't want us to be ignorant of that fact. It's a mystery, okay? That Israel is blind, has become blind in part, but again, God, at some point, when is that going to happen? We know the next prophetic event is the church, the body of Christ, all born-again believers from the day of Pentecost, Acts chapter 2, up until the rapture. When the rapture comes, we'll all be taken up. The tribulation will begin, an approximate seven-year period. God will deal with this earth. His wrath will be poured out without mixture. The Jews will be dealt with, amen, during the tribulation period, amen. There'll be a remnant that will be saved, amen, that will turn to Christ, will keep the commandments, amen. There'll be in the tribulation of faith and work salvation, amen. But God will turn to the Jew. He'll start dealing with the Jew after, amen. What does it say here? Again, we read, it says, For I would not, brethren, that you should be ignorant of this mystery, lest you should be wise in your own conceits, that blindness in part has happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. And then after that happens, the blindness come off. Amen. We're going to see the nation of Israel, amen, as we're taught in the book of Ezekiel, the nation of Israel as a whole will be born again. God will put a new spirit in them. They'll be his people, amen. They'll follow him, amen. So God's not through with Israel yet. We still have some more points about what does the Bible say about speaking in tongues, but that's all the time we have on the pastor's study today. And when we meet again, we'll continue our study about what does the Bible have to say about speaking in tongues. Until then, this is Brother Gino Cassieri, pastor of the Evangelical Baptist Church in Newton, Massachusetts, thanking each and every one of you for joining me for the pastor's study today. And until we meet again, may God richly bless each and every one of you, is my prayer, and good day.